Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this morning. Thou hast brought Thy people to Sunday school to learn not only of Thy precepts and Thy word, but also to apply in their lives that they may be a delight to Thee. And Thou will look upon them and direct them in the way they should work in their life to the glory of Thy name. And Thou will bless them, heal them, protect them always, because they are an apple of Thine eye. We praise Thee and thank Thee today that we are able to learn about the life of Moses and how the Israelites have been difficult, and Thou hast taught them many precious lessons. So may it be to our lives that these lessons will also apply to us, and that we may learn from them and transform our lives to that which is pleasing and obedient to Thee. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Today we are at lesson 8, the Israelites at Marah and Elim. Background. God led the Israelites across the parted Red Sea in our last lesson. And after crossing the Red Sea, the Israelites sang in praise of God. And that is found in Exodus 15:1-18. Then they came to the waters of Marah and Elim. Yeah. And I'd like you to watch the video. On this part of the narrative of Scripture.
Chapter 15. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to Yahweh and said, I will sing to Yahweh, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea. Yah is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him, my father's God, and I will exalt Him. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is His name. He has cast Pharaoh's chariots and his army into the sea. His chosen captains are sunk in the Red Sea. The deep covers them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Yahweh, is glorious in power. Your right hand, Yahweh, dashes the enemy in pieces. In the greatness of your excellency, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You send forth your wrath. It consumes them as stubble. With the blast of your nostrils, the waters were piled up. The floods stood upright as a heap. The deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, Yahweh, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You, in your loving kindness, have led the people that you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people have heard. They trembled. Pangs have taken hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. Trembling takes hold of the mighty men of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan are melted away. Terror and dread falls on them. By the greatness of your arm they are still as stone. Until your people pass over, Yahweh, until the people pass over who you have purchased. You shall bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Yahweh, which you have made for yourself to dwell in, the sanctuary, Lord, which your hands have established. Yahweh shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and Yahweh brought back the waters of the sea on them. But the children of Israel walked on dry land in the midst of the sea. Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dances. Miriam answered them. Sing to Yahweh, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Moses led Israel onward from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they couldn't drink from the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore its name was called Marah. The people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried to Yahweh. Yahweh showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. And he said, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of Yahweh your God, and will do that which is right in his eyes, and will pay attention to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh who heals you." They came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the waters.
All right. So, the first part of the video, you saw that Moses and the people were across the bank of Red Sea, and he sang a song of praise to God. They praised God because God has delivered them from doom, from death. As you recall, before crossing over, they were so distressed and fearful that behind them, pursuing, was the Egyptian army. In front of them was the sea. They were doomed to die. And God, in his mighty power, rescued them by separating the Red Sea, parting the Red Sea for them to cross. And when the pursuing army chased after them, God destroyed the army by the returning waters. And the Egyptian army were all drowned. So the Israelites, they saw all this. When they went to the next bank of the Red Sea, they praised God in song. And so let's see what praises they sang to God. And before that, let me just show you the map where they were in the crossing and where they were heading. So you can see in this map, my laser pointer, they crossed the Red Sea at Pi Hahiroth from the west to the east bank, and then they moved south, east downwards to Marah and Elim, right? So it was at this bank, the east bank of the Red Sea, when they looked back and saw the Egyptian force being destroyed by the water, and then they sang praises to God. Let me read to you what they sang. They sang, "Moses and the children of Israel, this song unto the Lord, and speak, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider have he thrown into the sea," referring to the Egyptians. Yes. "The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. The Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea." So praising God, and also glorifying God. God is mighty, God is powerful, God saved the Israelites, God destroyed the Egyptians. And it went on, yeah? From verse 7 to 12, of chapter 15 is about the destruction of the Egyptian. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou hast sent forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, the flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. So that was the end of the Egyptians. Yeah? They were so confident that they are coming in their mighty chariots and their spears and their arrows and their armory. But when they crossed the Red Sea, the water came and they were completely destroyed and drowned. So that's what the Israelites sang in praise to God. And the last part, verse 13 to 16 of chapter 15, Israelites sang about the future. What holds, what has in store for them? Thou in thy mercy has led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. So God in his mercy has led the Israelites. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. So here is about the Philistine, that they will meet with the Philistines in the future, and Philistines will be defeated, will be sorrowful. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. So here it talks about Edom. Yeah? Edom is also another enemy force waiting for them near Canaan. And who are the Edomites? They are relatives to the Israelites. They are the descendants of Esau. Israelites are the descendants of Jacob. Jacob and Esau are brothers. Same father, Isaac. So you have the line of Esau and the Edomites, the line of Jacob, the Israelites, and they are enemies to each other. Imagine, yeah? Relatives, and they are fighting each other. Moab, who are the Moabites? They are the descendants of Lot. Who is Lot? Lot is a nephew of Abraham. In other words, Lot's father, Haran, was the brother of Abraham. And again, the Israelites are relatives to the Moabites, right? Because the Israelites came from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, but the Moabites came from Haran, Lot, Moabites. Haran and Abraham are brothers. So again, they are distant relatives, they are fighting. So it's just amazing, you know. They are in the larger family, extended family, but they are all conflicts. So now what for us after watching or knowing the narratives of Scripture? After we have been delivered from any difficulties, first, we must praise the Lord and testify of His goodness. Okay? You watched the video as well, which depicted what was in Scripture. Starting of chapter 15, after they crossed over the Red Sea, first thing, they sang in praise to God for God's power in delivering them, destroying the Egyptians. Yeah. They sang in praise how mighty their God was. And this is something we have to learn for ourselves. That many a times when we are delivered from problems, difficulties in life, the first thing we do, we have to give thanks and praise to God. Remind ourselves, it is not of our own power that we have overcome the trouble, difficulties in life. It is God, ultimately. He gives us friends who help us. He gives us the resources to help us. Without Him, we will not be able to cross the difficulty. So testify of His goodness too, to one and all. Share with friends, church people, colleagues, those who are you are close with, and praise the Lord, so that we all, everyone who is a believer will grow in faith. So let us move on. After they have praised God, they walked on southeastwards towards Mara. And they traveled 3 days without water. Then they came to a place with water, but it was bitter and undrinkable. Instead of trusting God, they grumbled against Moses. The Lord told Moses to throw in a piece of wood. Then it became sweet water. The lesson here is to pray than to complain. Yeah? It's quite amazing, right, that not too long ago, before this incident at Mara, they saw how the Red Sea parted. A wall on the left, a wall on the right of water, and they went right through dry land. The water did not fall on them or drown them, but it was God's power to preserve the waters on both sides. The power of God to protect them and preserve their lives. And yet, now, they complain to Moses that they have no water. Yeah? So, keep in mind that, and let us move on. Then what happened? Of course, God gave them sweetened water by a miracle. Yeah? And they were fulfilled. Yeah? And God led the Israelites to encamp by the water of Elim. And they rested. There, they were refreshed and comforted with the 12 springs and 70 palms. At the trial at Mara, God led them to a place of rest at Elim. Yes, oftentimes we go through a trial and God delivers us and then He grants us rest and peace. Yes. So similar to the Israelites, we soon forget what God had done for us, and we complain when things do not go our way. Right? Let's look at what the Israelites did regarding this bitter water. The Israelites experienced the power of God. 10 plagues. The Israelites saw the 10 plagues, but they themselves were preserved. But the Egyptians had it the worst. Yeah? Their crops were destroyed, and at the end, the most loved in the family, the firstborn, died. So there was tremendous sorrow, grief for the Egyptians. But the Israelites, they were all preserved right through these 10 plagues. Their elders were preserved, their lives were preserved because they obeyed God by the applying of the blood of the Passover lamb on the lintels and the frame of the door. God passed over the family and no harm came upon them. And they went out of Egypt because Pharaoh's son was killed by the 10th plague and he was in grief and he gave in to God. And come the Red Sea, the Israelites thought they are surely dying. Yeah? But then God preserved them again and saved them through the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army was completely destroyed by the engulfing return of the Red Sea. But then, you know, after they sang the praise to God about how God saved them from the Egyptians, how God delivered them, they move on, 3 days without water, and then finally they found bitter water at Mara. They complain to Moses, "There's no water." Let me just read to you this passage. Chapter 15, 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. Maybe I'll show you the map as well. That would be helpful. Right? So, the wilderness of Shur. So they move out from the Red Sea, this part is the Red Sea, into the wilderness of Shur. And there, went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So 3 days after the Red Sea incident, they found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" 3 days no water, and the people complained, grumbled to Moses, "What shall we drink?" Of course, then Moses went to God, and God told him what to do, and the bitter water in Marah was changed to sweet water for the people to drink. What do we learn of this incident? What do we learn here? That some of us also have the similar attitudes with the Israelites. We experience God's power in overcoming our past problems, but soon we forget, complain over new problems. By His mercy, God will still help us to overcome new problems. First of all, let's look at the Israelites. 3 days without water. Do you think they are justified in complaining, grumbling that there was no water? Do they have the right to grumble? 3 days no water. How would you feel if you have no water for 3 days? I will feel quite sore. No water for 3 days, meaning lack of drinking water for 3 days. I don't think I can last without drinking water for 1 day. Right? And what would I do? I would be quite angry. What's happened? How is it the government didn't provide us with clean water for today? What happened to our reservoir? Angry. Justifiable. We pay our taxes. What happened to our clean water and for drinking? We pay for all that. Yeah. But this is a different story here. Just 3 days back, they witnessed God's power. They witnessed God's power in protecting them. They were protected by the parting of the Red Sea. And what should they have done now, 3 days without water? They know God is with them. God protected them, and God is in the pillar of cloud. Every day as they march, they see God with them, ahead of them, the pillar of cloud, moving forward, God in their presence, but no water. And finally, they came to bitter lake, bitter water at Marah. They complained. Yes, we all have our needs. We need water. Very basic. Without water, we die. We die of thirst. But they ought to know God is in their midst. They should have prayed. Cry out to the Lord for mercy to replenish them with clean water. And least of all, grumble against Moses. So, for us, we have to do the same. Yeah. When we come to a problem before us, remember how God has helped us in the past. And that will help us to grow in our faith. How God in the past has delivered us from even more severe trouble in our life. Difficult situations in the workplace, conflicts in the home, conflicts with friends, even for our very health, God delivered us. And what more? One more event coming our way. Remember how God has delivered us and praise Him for what He has done and go to Him in your needs, crying out for mercy and for His deliverance. So it is our approach, really. The Israelites, I think they have the right to say, we have no water for 3 days. We are dying of thirst. And we know God will deliver us, as what He has done 3 days back across the Red Sea. So it's how we come before God, petitioning to God, crying out to God for mercy, asking for His deliverance and that His will be done for us. That is the right approach. Not grumbling and murmuring. Yeah? So what shall we do? We have to pray and to complain when obstacles come. Yeah. Pray what? First, I sort of list out some pointers for prayer. Of course, these pointers are not mandatory, that it is imperative you must follow these points. It's meant only as a guide, and of course, you can pray in any way you like, as long as you pay reverential fear and respect to the Lord. There is no fixed way of praying in the Bible. As long as you have reverence and respect to the Almighty God. So in my points here is, first, we give thanksgiving and praise for past deliverance. The first thing we do in our prayer is to give thanksgiving and praise for past deliverance. That will shape, mold your attitude towards God, that He is the one who preserved us in the past. He is the one who helped us in the past. And we do not go to God as though He's Santa Claus with a list of our desires and say, help us here, help us there, and do this for us, give us this, give us that. You know? And thank you, Lord. Amen. End of it. End of our prayer. We come with the right attitude. We thank Him and praise Him for what He has done for us in the past. With humility, asking for our needs. Yeah. Humility because we are creatures created by God. God is Lord, God Almighty, the Creator. He created us, creatures. Yeah. We do not have the right to ask our Creator, hey, give me a car. Give me a condo, you know. What right do we have? Give me this, give me that. Yeah? Seek forgiveness for our sins. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. But we are all sinful beings. None of us can profess that we are perfect or we have never told a lie in our life, or never been proud, never hurt another person. By our speech, we offend others sometimes. So we seek forgiveness for our sin, so that we can be righteous before God. And when we are righteous before God, He will take care of us. Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the God of the Lord are on the righteous, in others. He will take care of the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. The ears of God will listen to those who cry, the righteous people who cry. And for that reason, we need to be right with God when we go to Him in prayer. We need to seek forgiveness for our sins so that we are righteous before God. And He will take care of us and listen to our cry. And then, next, praying for his will be done. Coming back to the point about we being creatures before Almighty Creator, we don't have the right to ask for things. Yeah? We can only ask for God's will be done. If it's his will, he will help us. That's a bit worrying for all of us, isn't it? If it's not his will, we are not going to get it. That's essence of our God. Our faith is not a transactional faith. I come to you to worship. You must give me this. Good health, good promotion, a good living. If you do not give me these items, I'm not worshiping you. That is not our faith. Our faith is, even if you do not help me, I will worship you and have faith in you. Even if you do not help me, I will worship you and have faith in you. That is our attitude. But our Lord is a loving Heavenly Father. He is not going to be arbitrary and say, okay, be done with it. You go your way, I'm not going to help you. He's the loving Heavenly Father. He will help. Yeah? And God may answer, or before I go to that, let me just explain this part, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 9. There is an incident in Apostle Paul's life where he asked for God to deliver him from a thorn in the flesh. And God says no. Thorn in the flesh could be a sickness. Yeah? And of course, we all know what sickness is. It's a real bother, and we don't want to be sick, and that's the worst thing to be in. We all want to have good health and strength. But Paul has this sickness. And he went to God. And God, let me just read to you, 2 Corinthians. Twelve, 7 to 9. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So God, so Paul realized that in order for him not to be proud that he is a chosen apostle of God, of Jesus Christ, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. Something painful to him. Yeah? And for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He cried out to the Lord three times, crying out to God, that this pain will be resolved and that he will suffer no more. And he said unto me, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glorify in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See how what God's reply was to Paul? My grace is sufficient for thee. God did not say, yes, I will cure you. No. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. If Paul is weak, he shall be strong. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I gather glory in my infirmities. Paul agreed with God. If God wants me to be weak, and through my weakness, there is strength, Paul's response was, I will be happy in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So this was God saying no to Paul, but it was the best answer for Paul. Yeah. So it is also a lesson for us to learn here, that God is almighty. Yeah. He is not Santa Claus giving away gifts and whatever you want in your wish list. But I'm sure you will agree with me in all our experience that God has helped us in our lives, with our families, with our work. Yeah? Yeah. And sometimes He says no for our good. And sometimes He says, wait. Yeah, I've experienced wait. A wait can be as long as almost 20 years wait. Yeah. But I have no complaint. Yeah? It's worth the wait. So don't be impatient. Don't leave God out. His answer is the best answer for us. Don't be impatient. I think some of you may be like me. I'm famous for being impatient. A matter of habit. When I walk with other people in front of me, I'm so impatient that I will cut all of them and walk right in front of them. That's my habit because of my impatience. And God said no. Just 2 days ago, I had a fall. Pedestrian traffic light was going to turn red, rush to beat the pedestrian traffic light. Missed the curb to the pedestrian walkway, fell. I still have a sore rib. In a solic, God said, no, be patient, don't rush. I remember, this is not the first time. 4 years ago, I was on a mission trip in Batam, going to rain, rush for the car, miss a step, fell. Stitches. God says, be patient, don't run. Yes, so God answers our prayer in many ways, and we must learn to discern His answer, wait upon Him, not be impatient, not leave God out. And His answer is the best for us. And after Mara, there's a part in which God gave many conditions to the Israelites. And let me read to you what they are in chapter 15, verse 26. So after Mara, at the end of chapter 15, verse 25, there He made for them a statute. After He turned the bitter water to sweet water, He made for Israelites a statute and ordinance, and there He proved them. In other words, God gave a requirement to the Israelites to test them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. So his test to the Israelites was this. If you listen to God carefully, do what is right in God's eye, pay attention to God's laws, God will not bring any of the Egyptian diseases on the Israelites. I am the Lord who heals you. Yeah? How does that apply to us? We too have to do what is right according to the Bible, turn away from sin and evil, and God will be pleased with us and bring favor to us. Disobedience will displease the Lord and bring disfavor. So that is God's laws. He comes out with a set of rules and regulations, and we have to obey them as his people. And although God is not like a transactional God, we do this, you must do that. It's not. He doesn't engage in a transaction with us. He loves us. It's a relationship God. He loves us. He cares for us. Not because we bring offerings, we bring sweet things to him, we come to worship him on Sunday, we do this for him, we do that for him, and therefore you, God, you must do this for me. That is called transactional. Our God is not a transactional God. Our God is a God of relationship. It's like the same with you and your father or mother. It's not transactional. Your father and mother will always love you, whether you bring good things or bad things, because you are his children. But they treat you lovingly due to that relationship, that you are their children. So is our Father, and we address him as our loving Heavenly Father. That is the relationship that he wants from us. That we go to him with love. We obey him out of love. And why do we have to obey him? Because those things that he wants us to obey are good for us. Isn't it very paternal? When we were young, my mother said, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. To protect me from injury, protect me from going astray. Same with our God. Don't do this, don't do that. A list of do not do's to protect us because he loves us. And it's not up to us to say, yeah, we obey you and therefore now give us wealth, give us good living, remove all the obstacles in our lives. You don't do that to your parents. The same with our loving Heavenly Father. You don't tell him, because I obey you, now keep away all the thorns and all the rough edges of life. But he will lovingly help you. He is not going to remove all the thorns in our lives. Be sure of that. Because you look at the lives of all the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they never had it good. In fact, very hard life they went through. But God was with them. And God helped them in their very difficult life. And through their difficulty and suffering, they praise God, that God led them through their difficulty and suffering and delivered them at the end of the day. So it is with this episode with the Israelites. They will be led through thorns and rough edges in their journey towards Mount Sinai. And even after Mount Sinai, as they leave Mount Sinai, they come across many difficulties which God provided for them as a test. See how they react. They reacted badly. So what do we have so far? Okay, this is just an outline of what happened. Pihahiroth, at that location, they complained to Moses that Moses brought the Israelites out to the wilderness to die. Why did they complain at Pihahiroth? Because they were hemmed in between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. And it was Moses who brought them there. So they accused Moses of bringing them out to die. Then God reacted by parting the Red Sea for the Israelites to cross and then destroying the Egyptian while they were crossing the Red Sea. So what is there for us? When we are in a difficult situation, God is in control, just as Israelites at Pihahiroth. As the righteous, God will hear our cry and deliver us. So here Israelites sang praise to God, how God, in that difficult situation, saved them, delivered them. And then, 3 days on, no water, bitter water at Marah. They complained to Moses, no water. Your fault, Moses. You brought us out here, no water. Your fault. And God turned the bitter water to sweet water. And then God led them to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and there they had rest. So, this is for us to learn how little in faith the Israelites were. And many of us are like that, little in faith. Every situation, every trial, we can't pass the test like the Israelites. They will continue to complain until God says that they are a stiff-necked people, stubborn and refusing to obey God. And we must not do the same. We must learn. Always remember the past, how God has delivered us. And then we move forward to the next obstacle. Always remember the past, how God has delivered us. And we move forward to the next obstacle. Praying and giving thanks to God, seeking His mercy for our sin, and asking God in His will to deliver us with all humility and patience. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this lesson on praising Thee and thanking Thee for all Thy deliverance and patience waiting upon Thee to deliver us. So we seek Thee for Thy mercy, for many of us have many needs, whether it is conflicts in relationship or health. Yes, Lord, these are the sorrows of life on this earth. And we pray, Lord, that Thou will deliver us in accordance with Thy perfect will. Help us, Lord, not to grumble or lose faith, dishearten, but always be strengthened by what Thou hast done for us in the past. Truly, Thou hast been good. We praise Thee and thank Thee. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.